Hare Krishna. Krishna is the God who conceals his Godhood so that love can reign supreme. On the occasion of Janmashtami, let us contemplate on the speciality, indeed the uniqueness, of the conception of Krishna as God. The word God invokes many different images in different people's minds. Some people think of him as a cosmic ruler seated on an effulgent throne in the high sky. Others envision him as an ageless sage with a long beard and a beatific smile. Some others conceive of him as an all-pervasive light of indescribable intensity. Now, whatever be the different ways in which people conceive God, surely they won't conceive him as a bluish-black complexioned, peacock feather-wearing, flute-playing, 16-year-old lad. Or would they? In fact, millions and millions and millions of people in India and now increasingly in various parts of the world hold indeed such a person to be God. That person is Krishna. Krishna as God is a youth who delights in the pastoral paradise of Vrindavan. And he's a dramatically different conception of God from the conceptions that have been held by most people in the Western world. Now, what exactly is this conception of God which has attracted so many people? And the idea of God as a lad would normally not merit serious attention of people. That's what we would think. But it has merited serious attention, not just of millions of people among the masses, but even scores of some of the most brilliant brains, some of the deepest thinkers in the Vedantic wisdom tradition have adored Krishna as God. Why is that? To understand the beauty of the conception of Krishna as God, let's contrast it with conventional notions of God and His perfection. Often, God has been conceived as perfect being. Yes, of course, He is perfect because He is supreme. He is all-powerful, omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent. So, He is perfect. Now, what is the nature of the perfection of God? Sometimes that has been thought of like a frozen perfection. Suppose an artist is making a painting, and while making the painting, the painting becomes more and more richer, and it comes to its zenith. And at that point, the artist just puts one dab more, and the painting becomes perfect. Now, if one dab less, and the painting is less than perfect. One dab more, and the painting is again lost its perfection. So, the perfection of the painting is frozen. It is at that stage alone that the painting is perfect. Not one stroke less, not one stroke more. Now, God is the perfect being. Now, normally we do something or the other because we either need something or we have some desires for something. Need something or we want something. Now, either needing or wanting, both are stages of imperfection. If we were perfect, the conception goes that if God were perfect, then God would not need or want anything. And because actions are motivated by needing or wanting, then God would not do any actions. So, God would be like a frozen perfection. Now, if God were like that, then certainly, there might be, from a particular analytical perspective, such a conception of God being considered perfect. But from the perspective of appeal, aesthetic appeal for the heart, such a conception would have no appeal. Because, after all, how can we love someone who doesn't do anything at all? Who has no desires, nothing at all, except just existence. So, the devotional Vedantic tradition reveals a different dimension of God's perfection. A dimension in which God's perfection is not passive, but active and dynamic. Here, God is not a judge or a sage. He does that as the roles, but God in His highest abode is a lover. And in fact, He is the perfect lover. And His abode is the perfect setting for love. Now, normally, when two lovers love each other, the whole world stops for them and they become lost in each other. That losing oneself in another, in one's beloved, is considered the zenith of love. In fact, even higher than that would be if not just everything else stops, but everything else contributes to the love. So, if two people are absorbed in each other and at that time the atmosphere also becomes apt, romantic, there is gentle breeze, maybe slight rains and birds are chirping in the background and there's a beautiful garden. So then that adds to the sweetness of the love. So when God is the perfect being and His perfection is the perfection of the perfect lover, and that's why in His highest abode, there He has a setting that is perfect for love. And in the highest abode, which is the pastoral paradise of Vrindavan, Krishna rejoices in pure eternal love. And everything and everyone over there contribute to the reciprocation of love. So, God is the father of everyone. But God lets some people accept the role, some of His lovers, some of His devotees, accept the role of His father, His mother, His friend, so that He can reciprocate love. And although God has His devotees playing all these roles, still they cannot love Him purely without any inhibition as long as they think of Him as God. And that's why to remove this last inhibition to the smooth flow of love, Krishna conceals His Godhood. And that abode where Krishna conceals His Godhood is Vrindavan. So here Krishna just acts as a simple cowherd. Supremely attractive, but still a simple cowherd. Not even the king of cowherds. He is the prince of the cowherds. Is one among them and still unique among them. And there He becomes the heartthrob of everyone in Vrindavan by being so endearingly attractive. Not as God. The Vrajavasis don't know Him as God. They know Him as just the most endearing member in their community. And Krishna conceals His Godhood so that they can love Him in that way. And in this way, in this abode of Vrindavan, it is love that reigns supreme. God subordinates His supremacy so that love can reign supreme. And it is this special conception of God where His bluish-black complexion, where His peacock feather, where His flute, where His youthfulness, all these contribute to the intensification of that love. And it is that Lord who loves love so much that the Lord puts aside His own supremacy and lets love reign supreme. It is that Lord who descends to this world on the occasion of Janmashtami. And by His mercy, love can reign supreme in our heart too. And when love for Him and love for everyone in relationship with Him reigns supreme in our heart, then we attain life's highest fulfillment. And we can share that fulfillment with others, thus bringing light and love to a dark and gloomy world. Thank you. Hare Krishna.